the red. Girl, I adjure that poor old wooden head. Have a good time.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking around on this Thursday morning. Text line, there's still a little time here. I got a couple of there I will get to at the conclusion of today's program. 251-343-0106. Join us now on the line. He is the represents the 2nd Congressional District, and I'm pretty sure soon will be the member from the 1st Congressional District, barring some sort of election calamity. But Barry Moore is on the line. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Jeff, I am doing good. Good Thursday morning to you, my friend.
Hey, thanks for coming on. Well, now you've been on the road a lot. You and I were talking off air. I mean, it's been a while since you've been on, but it's been, you've either been, flying or caught up in other things. But, what's the August recess looked like for you?
Yeah, well, they call it an August recess, but for us, it's just an August work session, our district work month. We actually, the first August recess, I did 14 town halls. And we'll do that with the new district once we get in January. We'll do town halls. But right now, with the farewell tour and the process of still, there, 9 counties that I inherited, but we lost a number of counties. So I've been to Barber County. We're going to Talk Elmore. All those people that we've worked so hard to build those relationships to say, hey, we appreciate working with you. It's been an honor to serve you. And as I'm saying farewell to 400,000 or 500,000 people, and I'm adding 400,000 or 500,000 people, it's just a process. And I want to make sure that just because I may not, I'm always going to maintain those relationships with people that I have represented and then establish new relationships in the new areas. And so I've been to the port a couple times, been down to a number of different events down there. I think we were actually at 2 or 3 different factories down there recently. And then, of course, we had the platform committee for Milwaukee the weekend, and then we had the convention. And so just been on the road a lot, man. It's nice to be in the bed at home occasionally.
Well, let's talk about what's going on. I mean, we're in the throes of an election cycle. Any thoughts on the Democrats as they meet in Chicago this week?
No, I haven't. The only thing that there's a couple of things. I love how they get on stage and talk about they're the champion of women, or the and then we saw what they did to women in the Olympics. We saw how they're trying to undermine Title IX and put guys and girls bathroom, guys and girls sports, and let men wear dresses and identify women as women. That's part of that process. But too, the ruling class that are there, whether it's Michelle Obama talking about how there's the suffering masses in America, the poor, the poverty stricken, the inflation, while she has 3 homes and a net worth of $140 million, and telling, we need to be more generous. The kind of stuff that the hypocrisy of the left to me, and never mind, brother, sacrificing 25 children with a portable Planned Parenthood abortion clinic at the convention. When you're sacrificing children at your national convention, that to me sends a message that as American people ought to recognize this, that this is straight up a spiritual battle, my friend.
Well, even if we it's hard. You try to respect their viewpoint and okay, this is where they're coming from on this, and this is what they believe. But the way they're going about it right now in this particular campaign right now at this convention, it totally ignores any of the moral questions. And they almost treat it like it's something to be celebrated, like a badge of honor to have an abortion. I don't know politically where that lands. Do people really want to celebrate this procedure, or do you want to see it as at best a necessary evil? It's weird to me.
Yeah, it's literally the shedding of innocent blood at your event, which, they always talk about. I think some of these policies, they talk about how in vogue and cutting edge they are, but really, man, they've been sacrificing children since the beginning of time. This is nothing but the same old thing in a different dynamic, or they perpetuate it and push it out. I just don't quite understand. They think it's something new and great, and they're fighting for rights, and at the same time, they're literally sacrificing the unborn, the innocent blood, the shedding of innocent blood at their events. I just don't know how the American people, and they don't talk about policy. They don't talk, the moral thing has just totally disappeared in the Democratic Party. And but to me, if you just listen to what they say versus what they really do, there's a total disconnect, my friend.
Well, when they do talk policy, Congressman, it's very gimmicky, right? It's very, we're going to $25,000 house credit or anti-price gouging policy that's just price controls. Do we even know what Kamala Harris thinks of the conflict in Ukraine or, stuff? It's just really kind of relevant stuff to the time period we're in. Are we just going to run on happy, feel-good, joy? And I don't know. Maybe that will work. It seems to be working a little bit.
You know, I don't know. I mean, to me, it's like they really, I think they mentioned Trump like 140 times. They mentioned the border like 6 times. But you're right. It's really, if you're just stepping back, watching, and you know what's going on in the country, and you see the border, and you see the conflict in Ukraine, you see the unrest around the world, where you got Iran and China and Russia, all this evil axis that's come together, and the undermining of America and our priorities, and not standing with Israel, and it's just odd to me that, like you said, man, it's very important that we watch what they do and not listen to what they say, because if we educate ourselves, we'll understand that their policies are putting the American people last, that inflation is crushing the poor among us. I mean, for the middle class family right now, it's just an impossibility to try to make ends meet. It's costing $13,000 more for an average household, just a middle class family, to sustain what they were doing prior to this group that they're now the vice president, this administration, what they did to the working class people in America. We need to look at really what they're doing as opposed to what they're saying. The one lady got on the stage talking about if Trump gets elected, he's going to weaponize the DOJ. He's going to turn the FBI into his personal police. That is exactly what Biden and this administration have been doing to Donald Trump and to anybody who supported him. And yet it's gaslighting. They always accuse us. Alinsky said this. He said, accuse them of what you're actually doing and Rules for Radicals. And it's exactly what they're doing. And I, you know, Jeff, you think they might be getting a little bump, but I think that's the media propping that bunch up. It's like, in reality, the polls I'm getting behind the scenes, internal polls from the Trump campaign and others, it simply doesn't seem like to me what the media is reporting and how well Kamala's doing as opposed to how the real numbers look. But boy, they sure are pushing a narrative. I mean, they buried Biden in a basement and they're trying to prop Kamala up. But I just don't think it's working for them this time quite like they're reporting. Sure, you see a little bump when she got put at the top of the ticket, I think, and the media just ran to her rescue and she wasn't the border czar and Joe Biden was no longer okay when he was okay a few months ago. It's just, to me, I think that based on what I'm hearing behind the scenes, and I'll tell you a real quick story. I was sitting on the floor of the House a few weeks ago before we went to the August recess, and there were some California guys behind me talking, their House members, and they're saying based on how the races were going up there, going out there, that we were going to pick up a number of seats in the House. So when you see the Cori Bushes and the Jamal Bowman getting beat in these primaries, those are the radical, most radical, like they are the left of the left, and they're losing in the country. And then I have California Republicans saying this thing is going in a little different direction. Now, this is before the assassination attempt, obviously, but to me, it seems like the media is putting a narrative out there that I don't necessarily buy.
Well, talk about the Trump side of this now, Congressman. I think he's doing about what he ought to be doing. There's no drastic like pivot, maybe marginally you change your messaging a little because you're no longer running against Biden, you're running against Kamala Harris. But I think you just weather this. And when all of this really matters, when you got to evaluate things, at least after Labor Day, probably more like, you know, mid to late September. And if you're going to do any kind of retooling of your campaign, that's when the time is to do it.
Yeah, and I think too, Jeff, I mean, from just watching what's going on, I think that the Trump team needs to make sure that they don't just worry about Kamala. Because, you know, I read a story this morning, and it was well written, and it was talking about really all they did was just change the quarterback. But no matter who's at the top of that ticket, the policies that are punishing the American people will not change. The puppets of the party of the left are going to continue to be the puppets of the people in power. They just can Joe Biden and put Kamala in there, but it's not going to work for the American people. And remember, Joe Biden, they said he got 81 million votes, but he really won by about 44,000 votes. And so I think Trump has to be consistent with his message on policy. Don't make it so personal in many ways. And so, you know, I think if he can stay on message, look, he went through that assassination attempt. We saw him at the convention afterwards. He seemed to be in a state of shock, somewhat, a little bit more humble than what you normally would have seen him. And I get his back, and I understand he feels like that he has to fight at times. He's a New Yorker by nature. But then I think he went through a phase of anger. And so, to me, I'm hopeful that he'll stick to policy. And let's win those swing votes. You know, the swing voters across Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Ohio, those areas where I think there's opportunities for us. But I think they're doing good. Just stay on policy, man. Stay on policy. Don't make it personal, because the media obviously wants to make Trump look as bad as they can. I mean, look, I saw 89% of the reports are negative on Trump and like 84% are positive on Kamala. And it's just odd to me that the media is in the tank. But I don't know that when it comes time that people get in a voting booth, like you said, after Labor Day, and the Trump team start really talking about what's going on in America, what's going around the world. If you want to be safe, you want to be secure, you want this nation to be America first, and those sort of things, I think that if we'll stick to policy, we've got an excellent opportunity.
Well, I'll tell you what, though, Congressman, and I hear you. In a perfect world, well, not a perfect world, but in a fair world, if Trump just stuck to the script and was disciplined, yeah, this, but I don't think he's going to, I don't think there's anything he can say that is going to not be exaggerated, blown out of proportion by the mainstream media. This is the world we unfortunately live in, and they're going to look for ways to take whatever he says as some kind of untoward personal attack. And you just got to kind of ignore that noise, I suppose.
Yeah, and you know, I say this all the time, Jeff. The thing that people come up to me, and it's usually people who are kind of moderate. They're not as conservative as I am, maybe, but they're like, gosh, I wish Trump would just message and not make it personal. But I'd say the very thing that frustrates you about Donald Trump, these people, is that he's a hitter and he's a fighter, is the very reason he's still in the fight. He could have rode off, man, and let this country burn down to the ground behind him. He's got properties all over the world. He lost net worth. He lost $1 billion while in office. And so I think that in many ways, the toughness of him and who he is, the things that you don't like about him are the very things that we need as a leader in this country. We need a commander-in-chief. I don't need a pastor-in-chief. I need somebody who will ball up their fist and fight to save this nation. And that's exactly what we have to understand. When these people come up to me, I said, the thing that frustrates you about the man is the very thing that we need in the man right now, is a tenacious fighter that will not give up, that will hit back. Because if we do not, this country is in big, big trouble.
Well, let me ask you this, because I think part of Trump's appeal is as such that he says these things that a lot of us are thinking, that, you know, that these people do or can be very nasty. They have a whole entertainment arm, the late night shows and Jon Stewart and Bill Maher and that crowd that say the nasty things. And maybe that's what we're lacking on our side. But Trump kind of punches back at that, and to me, that's part of his appeal. But you can also say, well, that means, do you want to win that trophy or do you want to win an election? What's the right balance?
Yeah, and I think over time, just the balance. Remember, no matter who they have at the top of the ticket, the policies that are punishing the American people will not change. We must elect Donald Trump. And, Jeff, you know, when you and I talk about this, we talk about this. Everybody talks about, oh, it's an important election. It's an important election. This country is at a crossroads, and it is the most important election in our lifetime. And I think through Elon Musk said it pretty well, and I want to hit on a little bit of this, but they had 3 billion impressions on that interview that he did with Donald Trump, or that exchange, if you will. It was just like guys talking about solutions. And there was a huge percentage of that audience. I think 70% were young people. And so Trump has bypassed the mainstream media. Sure, they're going to punish him, and the pundits are going to talk, and the late night shows are going to do what they do, and Hollywood's going to do what they do. But Trump has now realized, I think he can appeal to this younger demographic that are saying, this is our country that we're going to inherit. And by the way that he's just talking about the issues with Musk and those sort of things, I think that's better than doing personal attacks. But I do get it, man. When you're under the gun and you feel like that no matter what you say, they're going to spin it, I think you stay on policy. You stay on. He had the greatest economy this world has seen for the first 3 years until COVID came along. And remind everybody that the Democrats have had the White House for 12 of the last 16 years. I mean, if Kamala can fix all the problems, why haven't they fixed the problems? They don't have the solution. Man, they just have talking points. And hopefully we get past all the noise and listen to the signal, you know?
Yeah, we'll wrap it up on this. I just think that's it. Like, they're not going to win on a substantive, like, X's and O's discussion. We're just seeing the feel-good, like they said, okay, well, I mean, we can't use hope and change. That's been used before. What do we got here? Oh, well, she likes to laugh, so let's call it joy. And they're going to run on, they're going to run on these empty terms that don't really, I mean, they're feel-good terms, and they don't that's what bothers me a little bit. That I think there's enough people in this country like, well, yeah, I like joy. I'll vote for that.
But it's funny, that young girl that was on, she recently did, I saw a post, I don't do TikTok, but somebody sent it to me. She was like, well, I went to the DNC convention in 2016 and said people were cutting in line, fights broke out. They almost, like literally almost physical altercation. Everybody was mad. Everybody was angry. And then she said, I went to a Trump rally recently, and she said, those people were so gracious and they were so kind. She said, I could have never imagined, I would have never dreamed, I would have felt like the crowds would have been flip-flop. But it wasn't that at all. And so I hope that the minority community seem to be waking up because of the weaponization of the DOJ, and the young people seem to be waking up because they realize that we have been fed this stuff that is not real. Bo Loudon on Fox News, he's like a young man, 17 years old, other night talking about how he sees that more and more Trump is appealing to the young people, and that's what we have to hope for, man.
Congress, we're going to leave it there. Safe journey, safe travels wherever you're headed, but thanks for making time for us.
Hey, Jeff, have a great weekend. I'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Congressman Barry Moore, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 1065.
As I stepped out of that Cadillac, I said, Mister, many thanks. He said, you don't have to call me Mister. The whole world.